So today I'm joined by Ryan Knight and Matt Hartle. Hello, both of you.
Hello.
Hello, you all right?
Yeah, good. How are you guys?
Really good, thank you.
Good. Yep, thank you very much for joining us today. Really excited to have you here. So I was wondering if you could both just kind of introduce yourself to start off with.
So my name's Ryan Knight. I manage children's homes and I'm currently training to be a psychotherapist. I'm in my fourth year. I graduate in June. I know Matt off the estate and that's how I got involved in this group.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so I'm Matthew Hartle and I own a boxing club called MH Fitness in Glossop.
So you were just saying that you've both started this men's mental health group and you had your first one on Friday, didn't you?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. So I was just wondering if you could kind of talk me through a bit about the group and how your first one went.
So, so on Friday we had our first group. Obviously, it was a new group. I weren't expecting people to come through the door, and they did. So it was really nice. It was a warm feeling to know that we was helping other people.
Yeah.
And that people did listen and come. Like, we weren't just sat there on our own because I was dwelling on that a bit, I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, the same, really. I think what was interesting was how we were sort of being ready for people not turning up, and we'd spoke about that. I said, look, if no one comes, we've still got to be here next week. We've still got to be consistent. As it happened, there were seven of us. Some lads had walked straight in and come in and sat down. There was one guy who was sort of pondering outside and was pretending to be on his phone, just contemplating. Luckily enough, he came in. One guy just walked past and saw the sign and popped in. So it was just good. It wasn't like the advert was out there and everyone just came on time.
Yeah.
You know, there was lads walking past, there was lads planning to come, there was lads that hadn't planned to come, but luckily, like I said, there were seven of us and hopefully more next week.
Yeah, really good for the first one.
That's amazing. I was wondering if you could kind of talk me through a little bit about how you actually came to start the group.
Yeah, so obviously growing up, I've had ADHD all my life, diagnosed as an adult, and I've struggled all my life with it. And I was having a massage off a lady I know, she's a lovely lady called Joanne, and she said about doing a men's group, like, because she knew I struggled, like, I'd been through my struggles myself in the past, and obviously I've built myself back up, owning my own boxing club and stuff, and so that's how it all started, really. It was just like a snowball, and then I spoke to Helen Thornhill, who's, she does Move More in Glossop, she's a lovely lady, and she helped me get it going, and then I messaged Ryan, and like, because Ryan's obviously ADHD, that was dead as well, he's like myself. So I thought, who better to bring into the group than Ryan, but especially with his background, like with the psychotherapy and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how it started. And then I went to Glossop Pure Gym for a session when I shouldn't have been going. And I walked in there and I had two lads approach me and say, like, they want to help fund the group, which was like a godsend, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Matt said, he sort of messaged me and reached out and said, do you fancy getting involved?
Yeah.
I was definitely interested. I'd been to the Andy's Man Club when that first started. I had a passing in the family. My brother passed away and it just devastated me. And it sort of, that defined who I was for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like Jesus being born. It was like everything was before and after, you know. And so I needed that help. Luckily enough, studying psychotherapy put me in weekly therapy, and that's when I got the help. That's when I really got the help and support. And then when Matty reached out, I thought, well, this is my chance now. It's okay being in a therapy room one-to-one. Not everyone's going to come to therapy. Not everyone's going to reach out. And I thought this was a much more effective way of reaching out and getting people involved, you know. That said, moving forward, we are going to offer one-to-one psychotherapy to, it won't be men in the group.
Yeah.
That'll cross too many boundaries and it's not ethical, but for people that don't fancy coming to a group, I will be offering one-to-one psychotherapy.
Yeah.
Which will be free as well.
It'll be free.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I'll be offering one-to-one training, group training. So there's a lot of support coming from it. There's a guy who we know who does hypnotherapy. That's the word. So there's a lot of backing going on behind it. And like I say, we've got the funding to get this help for free.
Yeah.
Which, when I was in my dark times, I didn't have any help at all.
Yeah.
So it's really good to be able to help others and give the help that I didn't get.
Yeah.
Which is quite a good feeling.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And so the group is on a Friday in Glossop, isn't it?
That's
and
right.
Is it from 4 till 5?
Yes.
And
right.
It's called Let's.
Let's.
Right. So could you just talk me through kind of why you chose that name, what it stands for?
So the name it stands for, Let's, obviously, is listen, exercise, talk and support. So I think myself, I've come to learn with training, it's my medicine. I love it. Like, I don't take medicine. I don't take medication for my ADHD. That's the only way I deal with it, is to go to a gym for 3 hours a day. I love it. I think just exercising, even if it's just, if it's boxing, if it's kickboxing, football, rugby, any sort of sport, walking, running, I think it's just really good for your brain, really good for your mental health. It releases them endorphins and makes you feel good. And then obviously when you're exercising, you're feeling good yourself, you start giving out good energy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like snowballs again, like you start bringing that good energy and you have good people around you.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Just something really simple.
Yeah.
Like I say, you know, we aren't asking people to go into the gym 5-6 days a week or go and do marathons, but just getting up and just going for a walk, something simple like that. And hopefully if we can do that in our groups,
yeah,
it gets on there. And you know, like Matt said about the medication for ADHD, I don't take any medication. It wasn't for me. It watered down all my qualities. It leveled me out a little bit, but all the good things that ADHD brings had gone. So I didn't take it, but what I do find helpful is I have ice baths every single morning. If I don't, I know it's my ADHD's a little bit off the rails and not quite there. So
that's really interesting.
Best thing I've ever done. Yeah, ice baths every single morning.
Oh, wow.
Been in this morning at half past seven-ish, yeah. So I'll normally do that, then go for a walk, get a bit of sunshine, and then I'll have like 30 grams of protein. That's my morning routine.
Right, okay.
It's set short for the day, though,
doesn't
it?
It's ice bath. 30-minute walk, routine, 30 grams of protein, and I'm done then. I've got some sunlight in.
You're
I've got
happy,
some exercise.
Your endorphins are
out. Endorphins are leveled out, and I've got 30 grams of protein in me because I might not hit that during the day.
Yeah.
I've already got it in me.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with mental health, isn't it? Especially, I think, for men at the moment who are struggling to kind of start talking about it, is that when you are in that kind of rock bottom place, it feels like such a journey that you're going to have to go on, and rather than looking at the little steps,
you feel alone, you feel isolated
yeah, and like you can't do it all. Yeah. And Matt, I know you kind of spoke a bit about kind of the dark times that you've experienced, and I was wondering if I could ask you about that.
So like I say, as a kid growing up, I struggled really bad a lot. I got kicked out of every school I went to. I mean, primary schools, nurseries, high schools. Like, I finished school at year 7, like no other school would have me. So all I knew was boxing. So that's what I got into. I started boxing. It was a paramedic called Dave, who lives near me, Mumsy. He got me into it as a kid when I was about 11. And it was the best thing that I ever did. It helped me. But yeah, like I say, I was at rock bottom. I was using drugs from being really young. I was abusing my body bad. And it got to the point where I was really at rock bottom and I was like trying to do myself in, and I didn't get any help. There was no, I went to the hospital, I cut my arm, I cried for help, didn't get the help. And then I hit rock bottom and then I fully tried to take my life, and for a good reason, I'm still here. Like,
yeah,
it weren't my time.
Yeah.
I should most definitely have been gone, and it wasn't my time. I'm here for this reason, is to help other people and make them realise that you can be open about it and talk about it, and you know, you're not on your own. There is help out there, but it's just finding the help, it's getting the help.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then kind of after the point where you were trying to take your own life, what were the steps that you kind of took from there to get to where you are now?
So what it was is I got my family back. I got back with I split up with my baby's mum for 7 years, and I started abusing the drugs even more. And then I ended up, like, started speaking to her again, and that's when I like sorted myself out and got myself clean, is to get my family back and get back with my family. And now we've got another baby, 6 months old.
Oh,
I'm
amazing.
In the best place ever. Like,
yeah,
set up an online coaching, I own a boxing club, I've started a men's mental health group, got my family back. Like, things couldn't be any better, do you know what I mean?
So that's amazing.
I did it at rock bottom, but
yeah,
I'm living proof that you can come out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
And help others as well, which is the best thing I've ever done. I'm more passionate about helping others than I am about my boxing club or the online coaching. I'd give them up tomorrow if it was to help somebody else, you know what I mean?
That's incredible. And Ryan, I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about your journey in terms of your mental health and kind of where you are today with it.
Yeah, so I'd have been 22 when our Phil passed away. Sorry.
That's okay, take your time.
Yeah, so I'd have been 22, he'd have been 21. He had cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
So we adopted him when he was a baby. And so he had a difficult life. He couldn't walk, couldn't talk, couldn't communicate. Fed through a tube. It was very difficult for him, but he was always smiling, which is a message I've sort of took through life, you know.
Yeah.
But when he did pass away, I was playing rugby full time and I stopped turning up training. So I wasn't being picked. So I wasn't playing. So that sort of normality of having the outlet, being with the lads, playing rugby, doing what I loved and enjoyed, that was taken away.
Because you used to play for England, didn't you?
I played for England as an amateur.
Yeah.
But this is back when I was playing pro.
Right.
And so I wasn't turning up training. I wasn't playing. I then walked away from that contract, went back playing amateur, just so that I could have some normality, because playing amateur, I could miss training.
Yeah.
I could not turn up and just play on a Saturday. Do you know what I mean? So, and it's that drinking culture. It's that mob mentality of just turning up, being with the lads,
rugby lads.
And it was just it just enabled me to spiral. It gave me a platform to self harm in regards to just mine was drinking and girls. So that's all I did. I was on the doors four nights a week. So I was in that environment where I could just drink, I could just meet girls, and that was my self harm. And it was just So sort of spiraled out, and then I think meeting my wife, like Matt said, and I mean, I've got a close family, you know, we all live close by. My mum's two doors away from me, my mum and dad. My sister's two doors down from them, so we're all close on the same street. And then meeting my wife, and I get quite emotional saying this, but...
She's your rock, isn't she?
When I met my wife, I can remember my mum saying to her, "You've given me my son back."
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and that gave me the platform then to just level out.
Yeah.
Get my life on track. I got a proper job, quit the doors, and I started managing children's homes. Well, I got involved in residential childcare and then became a manager. Now I'm training to be a psychotherapist. Like I say, I'm 4 years into it now. I graduate this year. Yeah, so I'm a proper adult now.
Yeah. You're helping a lot of people as well with your job role. Like, you have ADHD yourself, so you know how much you struggle with it. Like, and you helping other children, it's massive, that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's quality.
Yeah.
No, definitely, that's incredible.
So we've got both ends of this sort of scale. I can work with the young people in work and then come to the men's club and work with the guys who didn't get that help.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have Pete's dragging around back then, you know, so the guys that sort of missed that support, we can now help them.
Yeah.
That's true, that.
No, that's amazing. And so we were just talking about ADHD, and I was just wondering how that has kind of affected you both throughout your lives and whether you would say that's impacted your mental health.
So as a kid, it really impacted me. I've struggled bad, like... I was just wild. I was like a bull, honestly. Genuinely, I was like a bull.
Yeah.
I just didn't care about anything. I didn't care about anybody's feelings. I was just wild. So yeah, that's how it affected me as a kid. But as an adult, I feel like it's a good, it's a superpower. It gives me that get up and drive. Like, you know, I get up in the morning, I'm ready. I'm like ready to smash my day. But you do get your ups and your downs with it. You do have your down days. Like we're only human, aren't we?
Yeah.
But I do have a lot more up days now than downs, which is good, which is obviously through my own doing as well, through my training and stuff and helping others. I do feel good at the minute because I'm doing a lot of things to help myself and help others. So I do feel good, but I still have my bad days. And when you do have your bad days of ADHD, it is a bad day.
Definitely.
Yeah, so for me, I was diagnosed quite late. I was diagnosed at 42. When I was young, also back in the 80s as well, you were just a hyper kid or a naughty kid.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think in school, especially in sort of in high school, everyone knew that I was going to leave school and play rugby.
Yeah.
So I think the sort of common conception wasn't, well, you know, he's not bothered about school, he's going to play rugby. Where actually there was a bit more going on behind the scenes than that. And then leaving school, playing rugby, being a doorman, them anger issues that I had, it was what was expected. So no one saw the actual real anger there. They just thought it was a performance on the pitch. And it was what I needed to look like this front from the doors, when actually that was me. I was actually really angry.
That's really interesting.
And when I'm not really angry, I'm at the bottom and I'm sort of quite low and emotional. And there was nothing in between. So I'm either on the ceiling wanting to kill everyone, or I'm at the bottom crying, thinking that no one loves me and I'm worthless and sort of. And again, then ADHD, the issues with ADHD, when you don't understand them, when you're not diagnosed, it does make you feel that way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm different to everyone else. What's wrong with me?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And then I think getting diagnosed in my 40s explained a lot. It helped me understand. And it also helped me realise that there's ways of dealing with the ADHD, which I didn't realise I was doing. So for instance, if I've got to read a book, so obviously doing psychotherapy, I'm reading hundreds of books now and essays and things, and the TV's always on. And I'll read a page and I'll sort of watch a bit of TV and I'll read a page and I'll glance up at the TV. If the TV wasn't on, I'd just stop reading.
Yeah.
So I found these strategies over the years of coping and getting through without realising why I was doing them.
Yeah.
And exercise is definitely one of them.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
On days that I didn't train, I was Right, I was, and again, either up or down.
Because there's nowhere for your energy to go.
There's no in between, yeah.
If you don't have an outlet for it, then there's nowhere for it to go other than inside your head.
Which then you start overthinking. And
it's in the head. So for me, the ADHD was more internalised.
Yeah.
So I'll look like I'm sort of sat relaxing, when actually there's a million and one things going on in my head.
Yeah. I can relate.
Well, you just drove over here with me, and what was my head like?
Before
I didn't stop. I'm trying to contact everyone. I've got work, I've got rugby, I've got this, and managing the family, and that's the head. Mm. I'll be sat in a meeting with all these professionals, and actually in my head, I'm replaying an episode of Friends from 20 years ago. And I look like I'm like, I'm here. And actually, I'm not at
You're
all.
Not yeah.
I've got Tom and Jerry running around in my head.
Becky does it. She speaks to me, and she's like, did you listen to what I said? I'm like, go on, what was that? What are you saying? She just had a full-on conversation with me.
Yeah.
But because I'm thinking about what's happened an hour ago or this morning, and I'm overthinking it. Yeah, you come across a bit rude sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you're ignoring them, but I'm not ignoring you. My head just don't work like a normal head.
But the downside of that is the overthinking is something, even a comment in work or any sort of comment, you will overthink it and you'll take it really personal.
1,000,000%.
And I'll go home then. And again, that low self-esteem.
Mm. Yeah.
That, you know, they're being really critical of me. When actually they are, it's just a passing comment.
It's just,
and you go home and you overthink it for days and you're feeling horrible and you dwell on it. And again, it's that not managing emotions.
Yeah.
And I'll be angry about it and then I'll be upset about it.
Yeah.
And then I'll be angry about it.
Yeah. Well, because with ADHD, I don't know whether you've heard of it. Something that often comes with ADHD is rejection sensitivity dysphoria.
Dysphoria.
Which I think a lot of people, a lot of ADHDers experience really heavily. And I think that can be quite hard to communicate with kind of people who don't have ADHD, because it's quite difficult to understand that, oh, I'm not just sensitive. This is like a real thing that I have to go through. It's a process that I have to...
Definitely.
It's almost like when someone makes a negative comment, you're almost grieving because it feels that intense sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that definitely like kind of adds on to mental health aspects, because obviously you can get down and anxious about it, and then it kind of snowballs.
Spirals. You can rather go really down and deep, or you can bring yourself back out of it.
Yeah.
So now, like, when I'm in them sort of states of mind, I try and talk to myself and get myself to go to the gym or go for a walk, just get out and clear your head, listen to a bit of music or do something that makes you feel good. It's hard to do it when you're in that state of mind, but once you do it, it does help.
And it is kind of that awareness, isn't it? Like you said, once you've been diagnosed,
you're
able to say to yourself, oh, it's probably this,
rather than
just worrying, why do I think this?
That's massive. I think the diagnosis, especially in terms of my anger, I just thought I was broken, especially with like after the passing and things like that. And, you know, well, I'm just damaged now, I'm broken. Mm. And the anger, I just thought, well, this is just me. This is just how I am. And, you know, I'm wrong. I'm broken.
Yeah.
Whereas when I got the diagnosis, and if I was going to get a bit of an anger rage and a bit of a tantrum coming, I'd be like, hang on a minute. I know what's going on here. It's my ADHD.
Control it, yeah.
Take a breath. It's not me personally.
Yeah.
Even though it's part of me.
Yeah.
This is the reason behind it. Not because I've got a queue at Matt D's for 2 minutes. You know, I can't sit in traffic.
I can relate to you.
I rage sort of things.
As
so
a kid, I can relate to you on that. I was like a Tasmania. Like, as soon as you go, you're really angry, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot. I used to cry. I got that angry and cry. And once I cried, that was it. There was like a black fog. That was it. No, I couldn't hear anybody. I couldn't see anybody.
Yeah.
Just zoned out.
Yeah.
And that's how it affected me as a kid. But as an adult now, I'm not too bad. I don't have them sort of blips.
Yeah.
I control them a lot better now, like, because I've had it since being really young, growing up. I've got diagnosed. So, I can control it a lot better now.
That's amazing.
Which is good.
Yeah. And I think the next thing that I wanted to kind of ask you both about, I know we've touched on it with kind of how physical activity has helped with your mental health and kind of it being a good outlet for you. But on the flip side of that, I know that obviously you both have a big background in sports and physical activity. And I was just wondering, with the culture that comes with that, with kind of the rugby and being in the gym and it being stigmatized for men to speak out, how has that kind of impacted you?
Yeah, so for me, playing rugby, that was really, really difficult, because it is it's a brutal man sport. You're gladiators on the pitch, and I think players as well that sort of get that persona about them and that reputation, you've got to step up to that reputation.
Mm.
You know, so if you're going to go down the East Lancs and play in Wigan, and this team have heard about Ryan Knight, who's a bit of a animal and likes to fight, and you can't get there and be like, oh, hiya pal, you okay, and be all nice about it. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You've got to go there and shout at him, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to rip your head off and everything. And I think what is hard is, one, putting on a front for other people so that they think that you're this big, tough, macho guy who's playing rugby and sort of keeping that mask on. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, then you can't speak to your friends, even though they're probably doing the same thing.
Yeah.
They've got the masks on.
Yeah.
It's like a defence mechanism, isn't
Everyone's
it?
Everyone's got it up, yeah. And I think for guys as well, is especially this sort of very outdated, macho, caveman sort of view of men that, you know, we're the leaders, we're the protectors, we keep everyone else safe. And, you know, there's more that comes to that as well. Apart from that sort of front is, you don't want to be a burden on your family. You don't want to let them down because you're sort of viewed as this, you know. I mean, like your dads, for instance, your dads are the, you know, you sort of look at them, they're like superheroes.
Yeah, of course you do, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So the last thing I want then is my kids thinking, he's not a superhero, he's vulnerable, he's fragile. Mm. Who's going to protect me? So you've got to step into that role of keeping them safe.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's difficult now. Even now, knowing all this and having that knowledge and having therapy training and sort of trying to give my kids a more positive message of it's okay to be, you know, sad, it's okay to be upset, it's okay to be scared, it's okay to show your feelings. And I model that very well for them. I mean, I cry at anything on the TV.
Yeah, we're both emotional.
I walk past a three-legged puppy and I'll cry, you know. Yeah. So, But I'm very emotional and they've always seen that. My kids have seen me crying all the time. But I still feel I've got to put on that front at times, or to a certain extent, to show them that I protect them and keep them safe.
Yeah.
So there's still an element, even knowing all this, there's still an element of, I've got to show them to a certain extent, you're safe and I'm the man and I'll protect you.
Yeah.
So even now, it's difficult to manage that.
Yeah. And I think like the last question that I have for you both is, obviously it's Movember, which, if listeners aren't aware, it's an annual event which takes place throughout November when men grow moustaches to raise awareness of men's health issues. So it's quite a poignant issue for this month. And obviously I'm speaking to you both about men's health issues. But I was wondering, if a man right now is suffering and feels they don't know how to reach out for help, what advice would you both have?
Come down to Glossop to Let's. We'll definitely help you. Okay. Definitely help you. You can get your free help, whether it's psychotherapy with Ryan, a bit of training with myself, or if it's just getting you out and getting you on a monthly walk with us or something. It'd be good to help anybody who's listening. Any males that want help, we're there for you at Let's at 4 till 5 on a Friday in Glossop.
Yeah, I think the main thing is to sort of point out that no matter how big or small someone's issue is, or someone's concern or worry or anxiety, whatever's going on in their life, if it's getting them down, it is important.
Yeah.
Try not to be judgmental.
Yeah, and we're all in the same boat. And I think this is something that I pointed out earlier on when I first went to a men's mental health group years ago, and I walked in and my misconception would be that I had a vision of what it would be like inside. And when I went in, it was a total opposite. It looked like an episode of Love Island. Everyone was in the gym and tattoos, nice clothes, turkey teeth. And I thought, you know, surely their lives can't be that bad. And the people that you walk past in the street, especially the people that you think are really successful and doing really well, are probably the people that are struggling most of all.
Yeah.
Everyone's wearing a mask. Everyone's got a front on.
Seem to put a bigger front on, don't you?
Put a bigger front on. And I think coming to the, whether it's our club or whether it's one of the many mental health clubs knocking about, or just getting that help and getting through the door, that's the first step. That's the most important step. And once you're in there, you don't have to talk. You can come in and sit and listen.
Yeah.
Just being there, just having your you'll hear other people's stories, and you'll sort of realise, oh well, I'm going through similar. I'm not on my own. I'm not. That's the main thing for me. I'm not broken. I'm not different.
That was the main thing for me.
I'm like everyone else.
Yeah.
That's a massive thing. Having your feelings validated.
Yeah.
It's not me. I'm no different. I'm not broken. I'm just like everyone else, and I'm struggling.
And I'd like to say, that's all right. If you are struggling and you can't get the confidence to get to one of these groups, is just try and do something at home yourself on your own. You don't have to come to the group. If you're struggling and you can't get there, just try and get out on a little morning walk, or set yourself a little daily goal of 10,000 steps. And if you accomplish it, you're going to feel good. It's going to give you that bit of dopamine.
Yeah.
So it's just the daily steps, little tiny baby steps that are going to help. Do you know what I mean? Like, whether it be do 50 sit-ups in the morning, if you do that in the morning every day and you set yourself that goal, and you tick that goal every day, you're going to feel good. You're going to wake up and feel good. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's like you were both saying about having a little routine and kind of like you were saying.
Little
you were
daily
saying,
healthy habits as well. Yeah. It definitely helps, whether it's being steps or running or whatever it is. It's just getting that little that routine, like you say,
And it's piece by piece. It's just step by step.
Yeah, it's not the whole picture.
Not the whole picture. You don't have to get up and do, your ice bath, yeah, and go for a walk, no, and then eat all that protein, and then go to work, and then come back and do the gym.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, if you can get up and have a healthy meal and a bit of a walk, or even sitting in the garden for 10 minutes, getting a bit of sunlight, not now in the winter, but when it's, you know, it's just them baby steps. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. And repetition becomes habit.
Habit, yeah.
And that's the main thing in it. And before you know it, you're not even...
You love it.
Putting an effort into getting better mental health. You're actually doing it without even thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting 100%. Up and going for a walk. You're eating a little bit healthier. You know, it's just tiny steps. And even if you have a nearly swore then, have a rubbish day, if you have a bad day and you dip and you don't go to the gym and you don't train and you eat a pizza and you don't get your steps in, and it's fine. Do you know what I mean? One bad meal is not going to make you fat, and one good meal is not going to make you thin, and one bad day is not going to make you...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's everyone's got blips and ups and downs.
Yeah.
It's just a roller coaster, and we'll be here to help you maintain them 100%, tracks.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 100%.
That's amazing. Thank you guys so much. Honestly, inspirational.
Thank you very much.
It's been lovely to have you in.
Been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.